6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprinkle on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy hump day, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
You got a weird technical issue here on a Wednesday.
It's usually how it rolls.
My computer broke again.
Oh, nice.
So I don't have any updated audio clips. I don't tee you guys up today.
Okay.
And then also, my headphones are turned super down. And when I turn them up and I finally get where I need them.
Sure, right
he
level.
He then comes in the other Brandon.
Brandon number
way
two.
Way too loud.
Brandon number two, we got to calm you down over there, all right? Dial it back a little bit. Don't be yelling at us this early in the morning.
We got to communicate, but I'm going to have to do it with my headphones off.
We're going to need some, talk like you're Jim Nance and it's Sunday at Augusta.
Hello, friend.
Hello, Brandon. I'm going to need you to play the audio clips yourself today. Can we talk in sign language? You know any sign language?
I tried to learn sign language, actually, a couple years ago, yeah.
I got a few because we tried to teach the kiddo that. Like, that's the thing people try and do with their kids of, like, you know, more before they can start talking to get them to tell you what they want and what they need. Didn't really work that well. I think we got more. He knew how to do that one. Thank you. He knew the thank you sign. Very simple. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think that's all that stuck.
Apple is a double fist on the cheek rub.
Ooh, I like that. That's a fun word.
Our daughter used to eat a lot of apples.
You want some apples. Yeah. I like that. That's so creative.
More apples.
Right. More apple. More Wawa. Right. More bottle. Right. You got to teach them the sign language early on in life, man.
Yeah. My wife has a cousin, and it's kind of because of the age gap between her dad and his sister.
Mm.
The cousin is like a little kid almost.
Younger cousin.
It is a couple years ago. She
feels almost more like a niece.
Yeah,
probably.
More of a niece in terms of age. And gap, but
I got that with a cousin that's more like an uncle.
Oh, really?
I got a cousin who's in his 60s.
I have a cousin that's like 15 years older than me.
Yeah, we're going like 30 plus, I think.
Yeah,
which is it's weird. Feels more like an uncle, but technically a cousin. That's the way it shook out.
Well, she's like partially deaf to the point where like she has to know sign language.
Needs to know sign language.
And we watched her a couple times, and I was like, I'm going to learn sign language.
I'm going to do that.
I haven't seen her in years.
It's been a long
time. Like 2 years.
So there's no need to really,
sign language,
you know.
Thing. I actually learned the alphabet.
Did
I
you
had
really?
The alphabet.
You had the alphabet down?
I had it.
That's impressive.
But if you stop doing it,
then you're done.
You lose it.
Yeah, it's like learning a new language. Is it more challenging to learn sign language or a new language?
Well, sign language is a language.
Well, I know. I'm saying to speak something, like, is it more difficult or are they equally the same?
Do you like that, Brandon?
What's
more difficult, sign language or another
or
language?
Or like learning a hand signal for each word or learning the word for each word in a different language? Are they equally as difficult?
Well, my daughter just said the other day she's going to learn 7 languages. And I'm like, seven?
What's she at right now?
1.
Okay, we got 6 to go.
And the way she's learning Vietnamese, to me, I don't think is a way you can actually learn a language.
It's not going
to
stick. You don't think it'll hold?
Well, I said that yesterday at home. That did not land well with the wife or her. I'm like, I don't think finding out how to say counter is going to actually get you to learn how to speak the language.
You need a little more sophistication than that, a little more tutoring, if you will.
My wife and her sisters come from a house that just speaks largely in the house Vietnamese.
Right.
They themselves are not very
fluent in it.
They can understand it.
Yes.
They can communicate it
in certain ways.
But there's a limit to it.
Yeah, you're not having like a long form conversation being able to communicate everything that you want to communicate, I would imagine.
They can talk to their parents for like an hour straight.
Mm.
It's like the little subtlety things, I guess, is what I'm trying to explain of like, they're not perfect with it.
Right.
And now, how has that been passed down to 3 different families of kids?
It's already like a watered-down version at their generation level, and usually if it waters down even more than that, you're learning, you know, 48% of a language.
Like, my kids understand basic commands, like go brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Turn the light off.
Simple things.
You know, get milk.
Kind of to our hand signal or our sign language. It's very, you know, I got some basics here, but that's about all I got.
My other niece and nephew, I don't think know any of it. And then my other niece and nephew, I mean, one of them kind of gets some of it, but she can't speak it. And the other one's just like, what's up, man? He doesn't know any of it. So it's like 3 girls coming from a Vietnamese family and none of the kids know Vietnamese.
Sure.
I've always felt that, like, when you read about people that move to countries and they learn the language.
Usually helps when you're immersed in the culture day in and day
out. It's just because every day people are communicating in full sentences, right, and you don't know where you're at the beginning of that.
No, you don't have the option, though, to not learn it because you're immersed in the culture. You got it. In order to operate day to day, you got to learn the language.
Whereas, like, I just don't know what's the effective way of teaching a language. Is it to tell you how to say cup? I don't know if that's
word by word by word
really the way to do it.
Yeah, and will you remember each word, or how many of them will go in one ear and out the other?
Dude, I did this in Spanish for 8 years, and I got good grades. I would pay attention, and I don't know Spanish.
No.
So I don't know if those are the right ways to learn, or if that's just my learning disability.
No, if you put me, like, you drop me down somewhere in the middle of Mexico right now, and you ask me to walk around and communicate my way through town after 8 years of Spanish, there's no way it's happening.
Yeah.
No chance in hell.
Now, if I put you there for a calendar year.
For a calendar
year?
Do you think
you could pick up on what they're saying versus, do you think you could communicate?
I would have to be in some form of educational process as well.
Oh, really?
Like, if I'm living in Mexico and also learning Spanish and speaking it day in and day out, that would give me the accelerator program.
Yeah.
But if you're not teaching me on top of it, no, it's not going to come back.
I don't know how the movie's aged for people, but one of the comedies, it's not great. It's not his best movie. I always enjoyed the remake of Fun with Dick and Jane.
Yes.
And when Jim Carrey is down and he's poor and he's lost all his work, and when he gets off the work truck, he's speaking fluent Spanish
as he's saying goodbye to his coworkers for the day.
And he gets in his car with his wife and he starts speaking in Spanish. She doesn't know what he's saying.
What the hell is going on? What's the matter with you here?
I always wondered, like, is that the way is that how I learn? I just got to speak the language, I guess.
Laying some bark dust today and I happen to learn a new language. There's two things I feel like as I've gotten older that I regret not taking more seriously when I was younger. And I'm sure this is probably the case with every generation. Mm. Like, the next one comes and they do the same exact thing, and then they get older and they're like, damn, I wish I would have taken that more seriously. Legitimately learning the language and having it stick, I regret not doing that.
It'd be really cool to, like, really know a second language.
Yes, and, like, the amount of schooling that I took to learn Spanish, I should know Spanish, but that's certainly not the case.
You should be passively, like, okay in Spanish.
I should have a base level knowledge of the language to this point in my life, and that does not happen. And then the instrument thing. Like, I played the piano when I was young. Could not wait to stop playing the piano.
You hated it, didn't you?
Hated it. Yeah. With the recitals, with just practicing, I couldn't stand it.
Yep.
So the first chance I get, I quit piano. Like, the first opportunity my parents gave me of, like, do you still want to do this? Nope, I'm out. And now I look back, I'm like, dude, that would have been... Like, I played the trombone in band. I don't get any use out of playing the trombone at this point in my life. Like, I'm not going to walk around the house, paint your green plants, your blue or whatever, and play that. That's not going to happen. Takes up too much space. But being able to, like, bust out a keyboard and play a song would be really cool.
Well, I golf. One of my best friends I golf with, like, I've always kind of wondered if we just went the whole round and he spoke nothing but Spanish to me.
How much would you pick up by the end of the round?
How much would I have no idea versus, like, saying some things and I'm like,
oh.
All right. Is he telling me that I've left the door open for this birdie putt? Right. Did I hear that? Did I hear door?
Did I hear door in there? Was there a door in there?
I don't think I'd pick it up. I don't think it would make me learn and understand it any better. But I've always kind of wondered if I played a full 18 holes and he did nothing but speak Spanish to me.
How much of it could you retain and understand?
Well, how much of any of it would I know versus, like, if he just kept doing it, would I eventually be speaking Spanish with him in a round of golf?
You're on the 17th hole. Hola.
Well, I mean, besides hola and gracias.
I mean, that's all I got. But you get the gist. You know what I'm trying. He would get done with the round and be like, dude, I was trying to give you all those two footers. I kept saying that's good. But
what's gimme in Spanish?
Why'd you keep putting all those out, man?
They kept saying break left, but you kept putting it to the right.
You didn't have the right word in there, dude.
I'll look up what gimme in Spanish would be.
You got to know that one just in case. You could drop that on the fourth hole. He's got a 2.5 footer, and you're like, you know what? I'm feeling generous right now, buddy. That's a gimme. You're good. Why don't you go scoop that thing up?
I feel like Google Translation, and I know this because of college, is absolutely the worst translating machine you can use.
Yes. I don't know if it's gotten better since my time in college, but I used a lot of it to survive Spanish classes over the years. And didn't really ever feel like it gave me the answers that were necessary to get the grades I needed on tests.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Second language would be really cool, but my daughter's after trying to learn seven including Latin. I'm like, it's a
Latin. What's the use of
Latin? She didn't name Spanish. I'm like, why would you not name the second most popular language in our country.
Spanish
is supposed to be the easiest one, is what they say, right?
Well, also, too, like when you think of where our, the future of where the United States of America is going and where we may or may not be 50 years from now, that might not be the case anymore.
What United States are you currently living in? Because I don't know if Spanish is on that bingo.
But, like, there's still times where you'll be watching a game on TV and a Spanish commercial will come on television.
Oh, I know. I love it.
That happens all the time. I have no issue with it. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what they're saying right now. This is interesting. But, like, that you can get more use out of that in our country down the road in your life than you can, I would imagine, any other language.
I can't remember what sporting event it was, but not too long ago, I turned my YouTube TV on, mm-hmm. and for some reason, like the default channel of the sporting event, it was the Spanish.
Somebody
broadcast.
Hit that old SAP button. If you want Spanish for this thing, just press SAP.
I thought about leaving it for like a minute and a half. I'm like, what if I just left it?
Hola, amigos.
Well, like if I watched a telenovela and I just watched like Javier.
Yeah.
Trying to steal whoever. Like, are these the ways for me to learn? Because class and the schooling of it actually didn't help me.
No.
I don't know Spanish. And
no.
I took Spanish twice in middle school, three times in high school, and twice in college.
It's a lot. That's from like age.
What is that? That's seven. That's seven school semesters right. of Spanish.
Over the span of a decade. That's nearly 10 years of learning
and
Spanish.
And I know none of it. I mean, none of it.
I don't like, it's not the worst idea to watch those, but I feel like, again, you have to like lay a base layer again first. Like if you laid a base layer again and then started watching those shows, I think it would help. Well, but if you just fly in blind and you start watching some telenovela, some drama in the middle of your afternoon.
It's at least an entertaining way to learn it.
I mean, it's not, I'm with you there, but are you going to have any clue what they're saying? You're not, unless you have that, like you could put the caption button down to where you can maybe read it in English.
The translation
part, maybe that would help. Of like, oh, okay, that's how you say that. But if you're flying blind, you're hearing the words, but you got no clue what they mean.
The scenarios of not being able to speak it would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder, like, being able to understand it at a minimum.
That's
like,
that's
can
a
I
good
watch
spot
a telenovela and get and understand what
right.
people are saying? Versus I don't know about communicating.
That's basically knowing the language to me. Like, you're not fluent in it, but, like, if you go to Mexico and you can make your way around town and understand.
Go to a Saturday market.
And you know what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to, you know, botch the responses and not be able to clearly communicate what you want, but I'm fully aware of what you're saying. That's a good level. If you could get to that point, that's pretty solid.
Let's have a challenge. Who learns a language first?
Dude, that's not happening.
You're not even going
to
try?
Not happening, dude. When do I have time to start learning language?
Don't know.
I got a 2-year-old I'm chasing around. I got another kid on the way. You think I got time to start taking some classes in the middle of the day?
Have you thought about putting Teddy in a language class? Like, that's kind of the cool,
unique
thing.
Teach him at a super young age.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to do. I haven't necessarily thought about it, but it would be good for him to learn a language and have the understanding before they start school.
Well, speaking of Dick and Jane, I think the nanny is speaking Spanish, and
right.
the kids only communicating.
Yeah, because the nanny's there every day, and it's like, this is the world we live in, man. If I want something from the nanny, I got to know how to say it in Spanish.
Brandon, do you speak a second language?
New. I also learned Spanish in high school. Just went
never stuck
over
with
my
you?
Head. No.
Yeah.
My church mission, I got called to an English speaking mission, so dodged a bullet there.
Didn't need to learn a new language.
Dude, again, I will say,
yeah.
Learning to understand a Boston accent, though, might as well be trying to learn a second language.
The Boston accent, huh?
Yeah. I served in the Boston, New England, Connecticut area.
Oh, okay.
So,
did it take a while to pick that up? A
lot of thick accents
yes,
over there.
Yeah, a lot of thick accents.
What are you saying right there?
Are you saying park the car?
Park the car?
Park the car.
Park the car. Huh? What are you trying to say there?
But language, you know, not only trying to learn it, but then trying to understand other people speaking it at 10 times faster than you can understand it.
Yes.
It's just like, I give up.
They talk so fast. It's hard. I can't keep up.
The speed of another language versus like, could you just go at like a half of that
Hello,
speed?
Hello, my name yeah. is Andy.
Right.
What is your name?
I mean, look, it's a goal, but I'm probably not going to accomplish my goal.
Especially when you travel internationally. Like the first time for me, I went to Europe last fall. I just got culture shocked, like, completely when I went to France, and everyone's just speaking French around me. I'm like, okay.
Did you try and learn any part of the language before you went?
I didn't. My wife did, and okay. She kind of led the charge as far as talking to other people. I
would ordering
just be the,
food.
I'd
or...
be the one hiding behind her. Like, just whatever she says. Yes, same for me, too.
I've always wanted to learn Japanese for that reason, if I go to Japan, to just know what's happening.
That'd be the way to get me to do it. Like, if I went to an international country on a, like, decent side, like, if I had the swag vacation book for this summer, I'm going to Italy for a couple weeks, I would try and have some level of understanding.
But what's the language like for me when we went to Vietnam in 2019? I mean, I've been around Vietnamese for
yes.
15 years.
Not yet.
You know, I understand some words.
Right.
But
could
like,
you
I
order at a restaurant?
Language. No.
No.
No. Are you kidding me?
I'm just asking. I don't know. I've never tried to learn Vietnamese before. I'm
be honest
it's
with
not
you. I don't
easy.
Even think I know how to say I love you in Vietnamese.
You can't say I love you.
No.
That's a nice one to drop to the
it's
wife.
It's random words like milk. Like, and I pick up on some stuff, and I kind of get the gist of what people say in some ways. But right. When we went there, I wasn't going to be able to learn the language.
No. Did you try and make any effort before you went?
No.
No.
Because
yeah.
The thing about that
well, you
language.
Were, it's also different in that scenario, too. Because
I had a whole family.
You were going
people.
With people yeah. who could communicate. Like,
exactly.
if you went on your own, like just you, the wife, and the kids, like, let's go to Vietnam for a month.
Well, I'd still have the wife.
You would still have the wife. That's true.
It would yeah. have to be something like Japan.
Yes. Where you're going on a long vacation and you want to be able to communicate.
Or as my mother likes to call it, J-Pan.
She called it J-Pan.
Yeah. It's a difference in terms of how they pronounce it.
I mean, okay. All yeah. right. I'll take your word for
but
it.
But I think the it's just some languages, man. Because the thing with that language specifically is like they will say a word and then you'll repeat what they're saying and they'll go, no.
No, that's not
and
how you
they'll say it again. And then you do it again and you're
you
like,
repeat.
And they say no again. You're like, I'm doing the same sound as you.
How is this not the same? What
and
am
then
I missing
like,
here?
You got to kind of hold the tongue in the back of your mouth. And I'm like, I'm not hearing that difference. But there's a difference. And it's just, it's a very difficult yeah. language to learn.
Maybe I'm learning this morning that I need to enroll Teddy in 7 different language classes ASAP.
Just do one.
Because they say that that's the best time to learn, like if you could
right
learn
now
it
at his
before
age? Yes.
When your brain is just a sponge. And
dude, he should be doing Spanish.
Soaking up information every day.
Put him in Spanish classes.
I'm just going to put TV shows on every day that are Spanish. Pick it up, buddy. Let's go.
Does Bluey air in Spanish?
I'm sure you could change the language on it.
I mean, talk about a way to learn.
Hola!
Right after Dora the Explorer.
Right. Now we're making progress. Now everybody's getting smarter
yeah,
out
we
there.
We are. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's a beautiful hump day.
Hello.
Except if you're in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, what happened in Cleveland, Ohio? Oh, yeah. 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 Not good. Took me a second there.
Yeah,
it's
all right.
Early, you know, I was going to say it's a good Wednesday unless you're Chris Dudley.
You lost to a guy who nicknamed himself Ed No Tax Deal.
You lost to a guy that I didn't even know was running.
You haven't seen those signs?
I had not seen those signs. I had not seen those ads.
Yeah, no
Chris Dudley
guy.
Was all over my Dude. Feet. He was driving hard in my paint.
The amount of Chris Dudley signs in the Happy Valley, Clackamas area.
A lot of them out there.
If you would have told me, guess the results of these three names, I would have said, well, she was the candidate last time. I bet you she's pretty high,
probably
if not the
gonna
winner.
Win. Probably going to win.
A guy nicknaming himself No Tax, named Ed.
Ed.
I'm going to say he's a distant third.
Yes.
Dudley, competitive second.
Would have been my guess.
Dude, he got obliterated yesterday.
I think he spent too much on advertising in my Twitter feed. Maybe we should have spread that money around a little bit, Chris.
Well, fair question asked by some local scribes. He's been courtside at all the Fire games. Is that still going to continue?
No, he's going to go back to
living
in Vancouver.
Is he done talking about women's sports and who plays in them and who doesn't?
Probably. I think Chris Dudley. Is he done? Is that it? Like, if you do it twice and it doesn't work, you can't go three times.
A decade plus apart, you got to be done.
He got over the controversy of not actually living in the state. I think he actually lives in the state.
He finally moved back to the state.
I believe he actually lives in the state this time for running for governor. And that's, twice in 10 years. You're done, buddy.
Look, we know.
You gotta hang him up, Chris. I'm sorry.
Big money rules politics. We're literally watching that happen in our lives. But it's kind of crazy the amount of advertising, algorithm posts, signs. To finish that by doing all of that is gotta be like a real humbling.
Real kick in the nuts.
I mean, it's a you got dunked on Shaq style yesterday politically.
Then you threw the ball at Drazen.
They threw you down after they dunked
Ed,
on you.
You probably threw the ball at Ed. Like, how did you finish ahead of me? I'm tossing this ball at you.
Everybody thought Ed was a plant for
Ed,
Drazen.
Who the hell is Ed, man?
Is it Drazen or Drazen?
Drazen, I think.
Should probably learn that name in we case probably she ends
should.
Up winning.
We probably should.
I mean, at this rate, Kotek's pulling at like 10%.
It's not very good,
How'd the
Bob?
Gas tax work out for you?
Not very good,
yeah, they
Bob.
Called that before 10 o'clock. They were like, well, this
thing's
failed.
No chance on this.
80% of their tallied votes were like, no, yeah. Not more taxes.
Has anybody filled up their gas tank recently?
Oh, my God.
Because it cost me $109 this weekend. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go no on that one, Bob.
I give you a lot of tax money. Work that out.
That's going to be a big N-O for me, Chief. I'm out. Thank you, though, for requesting it.
I haven't seen what the official percentage
I think the last
was.
I saw it was eight, somewhere in the 85 to 15 range.
Oh,
about as big of a bloodbath as you could get in one of those and bigger
it,
questions.
And I don't think it, like, that 15%, I got questions.
That's a bipartisan hell no.
Yeah, that was an overwhelming hell no.
We're okay. We
knew it was going to be a hell no.
Yes, we did.
All right, well, we got a lot to get to today. It is a busy program. Not a great day for Cleveland.
No.
And I have a question I want to ask you as we get going. Does everything need this? I will tell you what I'm talking about on the other side. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Hump Day edition on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:29 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. It is a Scatter Story Wednesday. We'll get to that. We got a lot of Blazer stuff to get to. A dark day in Rip City yesterday. We'll talk about that.
Yes, it was.
An NBA poll that might serve the Blazers well.
Ooh.
And updated odds on the favorite to be the next head coach of your Portland Trail Blazers. 83 to 16.9% on the gas tax. That was the final call. Whoa, that's an overwhelming get out of here.
That's what we call getting dunked on, right? I've been dunked on before. It ain't fun to have it happen. That's getting dunked on right there.
Who got dunked on harder, the gas tax or Dudley?
Ooh.
Because the gas tax was never...
I'd say Dudley.
Like a wanted thing.
I'm not surprised in the least that the gas tax got dunked on. That's not shocking.
We had media members like bringing Dudley on podcasts. Like, why should you be the governor?
Dudley
like,
finishing third in his own primary is more getting dunked on than the gas tax that we all knew. I legit... And look, maybe I just didn't follow close. I had never heard of the other guy. I'd never heard of Ed.
I'd only seen his sign. Sure. I didn't know anything
I assumed Drazen was going to win. Yeah. I'd never heard of Ed. Him finishing in third was shocking because of the amount of ads I saw for him. The gas tax, like, dude, who wanted that?
At the start of it,
who's
it was like,
voting
what?
Yes for that? What's the matter with you?
I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
So last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers, from the 7:48 mark into the end of the overtime, got outscored 44-11.
I think James Harden gave up 43 of those 44 points.
Well,
that's
we have
according
audio.
To my
yeah,
crack
we'll
research. That's what my stats tell me. James Harden 43 of 44.
Well, the thing about that game was not an awful start, kind of a low scoring first quarter, and then for about two quarters, that game sucked.
Yes, it did. It looked like it was going to be a runaway freight train.
And here you go, Cleveland. Look at Cleveland
oh
coming back in game one, and they're ready to go. And do we have a series? Is my bet going to cash? What the hell's happening?
Dude, I live bet the Cavs. They were down by 10 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Nobody could make a shot. What was the score at the end of the first? 23-16. Like, it was ugly.
They were like 2 of 18.
They couldn't do anything.
Three.
New York couldn't do anything. And I'm like, you know what? This feels like a funky kind of game the Cavs are going to win. New York's not running away with this, and I live bet Cavs money line.
That's tough.
Payout was nice and juicy, and that was mentally cashed at the end of the third quarter.
So then it just becomes a blowout, and then the fourth quarter is crazy Knicks run. And they close the regulation with a tie. They go to overtime. Cleveland doesn't get the game-winning shot. Merrill shot. It's the closest Mike Breen, I think, has ever been to a bang without banging.
He banged and then had to backtrack the bang.
Bang! Missed it!
I think it went in and out.
B sound.
Bang it out! How did that not go down? I don't know.
Crazy.
That's one of those. And New York, was it a couple of possessions before where they hit one of the, not to the level of Halliburton, but they had one of those threes that, like, gave a bounce.
The Landry Shamet
three. How did that go down?
Yeah.
And then you see the Cleveland one at the end. No timeout. Let him play. The irony of that in that moment, I thought to myself, I don't know where the rest of the series goes, but knowing Cleveland's history sans LeBron, if he makes that shot, like, that's a moment Cavs fans remember forever. That's game one of the
Even
Eastern.
Even if they lose the series?
Even if they do. Like, really? I think you do. Like, we remember game winners from the first round. Like, I know Cleveland's got
won
the LeBron.
Those first rounds.
I know
That's why
we did.
Remember
but
them.
How often does your team have a game winner in a playoff series?
Like, well, it just, especially the conference finals.
Conference
on
finals
the road.
On the road. The game one, Madison Square Garden. And, like, that guy, you're remembering that name and that shot, whether you win or lose the series forever. And instead, it's a footnote because it went in and out.
Like, sans Cleveland winning the championship this year, which I don't think anybody would gamble on.
No.
You could make an argument. If Merrill hits that shot, he never has a better moment the rest of his life.
No, that's probably the peak.
The game-winning shot on the road but in the Garden is a dream that every kid that's ever picked up a basketball has had.
That's not game 38 of the regular season. No. That's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I can't tell you.
And you had a shot halfway down.
End of the game scenarios I used to play on my Nerf hoop in the living room where
three,
I hit the three.
Two, one.
Guess where I was? I was always in Madison Square Garden.
You're damn right you were.
I was always shushing Spike Lee up.
You're sticking it to Stephon Marbury. That's what you're doing.
Timotei Chalamet, sit your little ass down.
Where's Kylie at, Timotei?
Yeah, get out of here, Ewing. But it didn't go down. They lose in overtime. Jalen Brunson is awesome in the closing. Mikal Bridges has been largely terrible in these playoffs. He had a couple huge shots in this thing.
Yes, he did.
And despite Karl-Anthony Towns playing like a moron, the New York Knicks were able to come back from a big deficit and bludgeon the Cavs in the fourth quarter at overtime. And I want to ask you, because everybody's mad at Kenny Atkinson. He didn't call any timeouts.
Call your timeouts, Kenny. What are you doing? He likes to hold them. He's going to use them this morning.
He kind of doubled
down. Before a shoot-around.
He was like, meh.
Guys are going to be a little dragging
Trust
today.
My guys. It's like, okay.
Be tired. He's going to call a timeout halfway through shoot-around this morning.
Well, I want to ask you this. So I was listening a little because I do enjoy the morning show in Cleveland. I think Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima are very talented. They're very fun. They're very serious, but also, you know, they make fun of themselves.
Were they screaming this morning?
Well, yeah, they were screaming at each other a little bit of like, whose fault is this and what is this? The thing I enjoyed that kind of led me to ask this question is, they were getting a bunch. They take calls over in Cleveland, Ohio, because people got to go, hey, this is what I want to say. And so they get all these calls and these takes. And the conclusion is that everybody is naming the game. And they're calling it the choke. Because I guess Barkley in the post game was like, that was a choke. Mm. Calling the Cleveland Cavaliers out, Kenny Atkinson. And so now everybody in Cleveland wants to call it the choke. The radio host in Cleveland is like, dude, the series isn't over.
Mm.
The drive, the fumble, the shot by Jordan.
Yes.
These were ending our seasons.
Yeah, the elimination game of your year.
And maybe you end up getting swept by the Knicks. Maybe you lose in five. It's never close and you don't recover from it. But his argument was you can't nickname something if it doesn't end something. And so I wanted to ask you, do you abide by this idea that, like, because people want to nickname everything.
They do. We got to have one for everything.
We do it on the show all the time.
Yes.
Tommy Two Nickels.
We got to talk about Tommy Two Nickels
today.
Baby
Kobe.
Yep.
We give ridiculous, dumb nicknames all the time. That's going to be a Rip City Legend nickname, by the way.
That will. We'll remember that one forever.
That's going to be at a thrift store rack.
When Shane Sharp's wearing a Brooklyn Nets jersey next year.
He'll always be Baby Kobe to me. But, like, do you abide by, you're okay naming every big moment, or do you agree that you can't nickname?
I love the idea.
After just game one.
I love the idea that in heartbreak, that's where your mind goes. How do we name this? That's a demoralizing loss. You blew, what was it, 22? Was that the ultimate final
22,
that they lose? 22
it
point
was
lead.
7:52 left.
In the fourth quarter, they got outscored like 40-10 or whatever. Like,
crazy.
Just insanity how bad they were down the stretch. And your first thought was, let's come up with a cool name for that. You know, let's remember that one for life. Now, here's what I will say.
Yeah.
I agree with the overall take from our guy, Ken Carmen. I think that the idea of naming something, you got to know the outcome before it gets a name. Because if they go on to win the series, you're just, remember that? That was kind of dumb. We lost game one, but at least we won the series. You're not going to remember the choke job that happened there last night, because it certainly was that. The only thing that I would push back against him is the idea that the series is not over. Now, maybe this ages terribly, and you can come up with a nickname for how bad this take is. That was the series. That was the, like, you had an opportunity to steal the game on the road. You had the lead. James Harden did literally nothing all night. And you had a 22-point fourth quarter lead. How many times would that happen throughout the course of this series? You know what the Knicks were shooting? I took a glance at the box score. I want to say it was right before they went on their run in the fourth. Because I'm like, I was in and out. I'm watching the game. And every time I peek back in, the lead gets a little bit bigger. And I'm like, man, how is New York not have more, like, what's going on? They were at one point early in the fourth before they started their run, they were 4 of 25 from three. 4 of 20. They had made 4 3-pointers in the game as a team halfway through the fourth quarter. Like, to not win that game And to capitalize on that moment, that's a backbreaker if I've ever seen it.
So let me ask you then, because I hear what you're saying. I think a lot of people think
like,
the
I already
series
thought
is
the
now.
Knicks were going to win right. the series, and even if they would have lost us, and
you
I still
would
have
the
Knicks win.
I know.
Now you lose that game.
But we didn't. Did we nickname the Halliburton bounce shot? Because
no.
that was game one, and they had double-digit comeback on the road, and they ended up winning the series.
Did we name any of our three double-digit point-blown leads against the Warriors in the conference finals? We did technically have the Myers-Leonard game. That kind of got named. Was that game four, game three?
I mean, the Myers-Leonard moment, I don't know if I'd call it the game.
It's
lost
the game.
The game.
It's the game, baby.
You can't have the game if you lost the
Believe.
Game.
Believe. What was his thing? Blessed. That's
blessed.
What he, yeah, blessed.
You have the shorts.
You're damn right I do.
No, but I'm just asking, like, if we didn't name Halliburton and they ended up winning the series after a crazy game one comeback and a crazy shot.
Yeah, naming things is kind of dumb. You don't need to do it.
I'm okay naming it in a moment of elimination. I do think we rush to name stuff too much.
Right.
But I think I agree with Kid Carmen. You cannot name.
I mean, they're not technically eliminated. They're
no.
going to play again on Thursday.
What if they win game two?
They're going to play Thursday night at
then
the Garden.
Then how stupid do you look at? Well, remember game one, the choke right. in the history of Cleveland sports? And he basically was like, you guys just love to be miserable. All you want to do is have yeah. the most negative nicknames for stuff
yeah.
because we've lost on big stages before.
I mean, you live in Cleveland. I don't blame them. Not a lot of sunshine and rainbows.
No, but they act like they haven't had success in Cleveland. Most of those people are Ohio State fans.
That's
the lifeblood of their state and their being. And the Cavs won in 2016.
They had LeBron James. That helps. I would gladly take LeBron James for all the other ineptitudes that your other organizations have.
Well, and it's gonna mean a whole hell of a lot when they finally win the World Series and get back because they're led by the Cleveland Beavs.
That they are.
Quan Bazana.
That's what we're calling them now.
They had a bunch
Oregon
of
Oregon State
guys
Central.
Right.
That's what
Oregon
we're calling
State
them.
Central, yeah.
Middle America,
right.
Oregon State.
You, dude, if you don't think we're going to try to pull some funding out of that success.
Hey, let's go. Pony up. Pony up to our program.
So we agree on that? We can't nickname?
I think nicknames are way overused in modern sports analogies. I think it's dumb. That game doesn't. It was game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, but it was an epic choke. Like, how do you lose that game? How is that possible?
I don't know. That
Call
was
Call a timeout. Sub out James Harden. What are we doing?
A little non-nickname conversation of who to blame, and we have audio on it. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. Well, Big Game James had a tough game.
That was, look, there's a mixed emotion for me last night because there's something funny about seeing the Bing Bong Nick fans kind of depressed, like their emotional lashouts after losses.
Dude, that building was a morgue.
You could hear a pin drop. Nobody was cheering. There was nothing to cheer for. They're getting smoked on their home floor. And then the crowd at the end, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. They got into it. So there's this mixed bag of like, that would have been kind of funny to see the exit interviews of fans walking out of the arena, ranting and raving about whatever they would have been ranting and raving about for losing the game. But the other side of that coin is watching James Harden do that on the biggest stage was rather delightful.
Yeah, I got a couple Knicks friends in my lives, and one of them texted me this morning, full disclosure, turned the game off when they were down 22, did not want my kids to see me as a sports fan.
Now, did he not
adult.
Turn it back on?
He checked it back in on the app with about 3 minutes. He saw they were down 5. He turned it back on.
Yeah. Then you worry about being stitious. Did they go on a run because you weren't watching?
Well, I don't think he hesitated. He turned it right back on.
It's
and
the
I
right
think
call.
At that point, you're like, well, they're on a huge run. I can't screw this up. I'm not in New York.
Right.
But I had a couple questions. We'll get to some audio here because James Harden is getting a lot of the blame. So Kenny Atkinson's getting the majority of the blame from Cavs fans of like, why didn't you call a timeout?
Just sub James Harden
Just
out of the
time.
Game, too.
Well,
like, take him out. He's unplayable.
It's
late
a
game,
really odd thing because a lot of those guys, I think, like and respect James Harden. And what we see from the outside is so much easier to say that stuff than being involved in it. Like, if you were struggling in any way on the show, I wouldn't even know how to address that with you. They could just deal with it.
I'm just having bad show after
Dude,
bad
he
show.
He can't say R's.
In the fourth hour.
He can't say the letter R anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I know. We're All just right. going to write the show away from the letter R.
Just try not to use words with the letter R in it. I'm screwed.
He's signing half the show because he's deaf. And he can't talk correctly
Dude,
anymore.
YouTube
yeah.
audience is getting
We're
it.
We're on YouTube, though,
they're,
you know.
They're picking up what I'm putting down. Fourth hour of every show, I just crumble. I can't handle it. First 3 hours, I'm fine. Hour number four, I can't talk.
I have a question quickly, and we'll get to the audio part of this. Like, let's put the coaching and the timeout stuff aside, because I don't know if a timeout stops what was happening there. Okay? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I just don't understand. Mitchell was rolling in this game.
Yeah.
And then he just, I don't know, like it felt like he kind of just went to the back burner a little bit. Now, he missed a couple shots.
He did. They both him and Harden were really bad shooting the ball late in the game.
But I just didn't like, you know what I don't like about this Cavs team?
Hmm.
I really don't like the Mitchell deferring to Harden thing. And I like, again, that's a league MVP. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. You don't have to like him. You can root against him. You can talk about how much of a choker he is. All that is very fair. I just don't understand how in year 17, the better player is giving him the ball and then just like venturing out to the wing or the corner. And I'm like,
this is a LeBron James thing of like, you got to know your role. Like, you shouldn't be the primary guy. Donovan Mitchell is the primary guy.
I think Harden, for the most part, yesterday was okay being that because Mitchell was the primary guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like I'm asking this. I don't need the best player to force the game-winning shot every time. I don't live in that world. I defended LeBron years ago on it.
Yeah.
If you get a great shot, take it. If you get a wide-open shot, like, get that look.
That's an NBA player taking a wide-open shot.
Yes.
I can live and die with that. And the Cavs made, and Harden made, the right play on the last possession of the game.
He did.
He got doubled. He passed. They got an open look for three.
But I hated that Mitchell
didn't touch the ball.
Well, he did. He just gave it to Harden and walked away. And then he let Harden operate, and then they did the pick with Merrill, and Merrill missed. But I don't get that. That's what I don't get. Donovan Mitchell is going to be a first-team All-NBA guy this year. You know what that means, Dirt? Means he's one of the five best players in the entire association this year.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here deferring to 17-year vet James Harden, who's getting cooked and not having the greatest playoff and or game. I didn't like that. If I was a Cavs fan today, that's where I'd be sitting of like, Brunson's awesome.
He killed you.
Bridges, OG, were awesome. Their defense was suffocating. How about Landry Shamet off the bench hitting some threes?
Could not miss late.
The other side of that is like, Donovan Mitchell, just keep the ball. You're one of the best, shiftiest one-on-one players in the league.
It's a tie game. You just need a bucket, get a foul, do something.
I hated that. Yeah. I was watching that. I hated it. I'm not mad at Merrill shooting the shot. You were open. It almost goes in. But
no, that's the right look.
The Mitchell just give the ball up and run away from the play. I just didn't like that whatsoever.
I think the reality is, like, you can always try and pinpoint something and they collapse to that level. And that's one of the biggest collapses we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. Since 1996, 1997, the New York Knicks were 0-277 when trailing by 22 points in the fourth quarter over a regular season or playoff game.
I love it's a Knicks adjacent.
In 277. Yeah. They literally since 96-97, when I was 7 years old, they have not won a game doing that. And last night was the first one in the last 30 years. So that's an all-time choke job on the road. It's always a collection, though. Like, call a damn timeout. Your team is letting the lead slowly bleed away. The crowd is getting more involved in the game.
He finished regulation with two, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And even on the last possession, which the last possession one didn't bother me a ton. That's fine. Yeah. Like, let them go play and don't let them set up their defense. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, same.
But it's just like throughout the course of the run, and then to say after the game I wanted to hold on to my timeouts, like, you just look like an idiot.
But you held on to him. You didn't use him.
You didn't use him. Donovan Mitchell, with you 100%. Like, he was not great down the stretch. He had a really good game before that.
Yep.
Like, that's your spot. That's that. You got to have the ball in your hands. Now, if you're the one that's passing because you get double teamed, I'm not going to criticize you for it, but the offense should run through you on the last possession.
Yep.
And this also highlights just the, I don't know what the right word would be for James Harden, but like the hypocrisy of his career of like, we know he is one of the all-time great offensive players. Nobody doubts that. Nobody debates that. He is one of the worst defenders in the history of the NBA. And the New York Knicks in the last however many, like, the numbers on it are insane. They switched him into isolations in the fourth quarter and overtime.
The fourth was just switching on to Harden ISOs.
Nine straight possessions, they got an obscene 1.9 points per direct action against him.
Yep.
He was the screener defender on 21 on-ball picks in the fourth quarter and overtime. The Knicks on those 21 picks got 1.6 points per direct action on those plays. And so that's getting a little analytical, but essentially, let's get James Harden on fill in the blank, usually Brunson, and guess what's going to happen? He's going to get cooked. And I like, there comes a breaking point when you're not doing anything offensively, which he was horrible last night. He had more turnovers than he did field goals. He didn't have any impact on that end of the floor.
Dude, he had a bad air ball in the middle of that run too.
One of the moments in his career, his team had a comeback when he was sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
like,
the Clipper,
you have to sit him down late in the game. You have the lead. You need defensive stops, and
Agreed.
He can't help you in any way on that end of the floor.
I'd almost rather see Jordan Tyson come out there.
I don't
and
care
play.
Who it is.
Yeah, I don't either. Before I get to the audio of this, too, final, X's and O's kind of thing, I just kept thinking, if I'm on the sidelines here,
And Coach Sprague.
I just watched Brunson pick up a fifth foul on an offensive foul. Why are we not instantly putting him in pick actions to get directly him involved and get him in the, as a primary defender?
Get him against Donovan Mitchell and Donovan Mitchell going downhill
dude,
against
like,
him.
What are
every
we
that possession they just left.
They let him sit in the middle in the corner. Like yeah. they just let him stand in the corner and they went away from it. I just like, what are you doing here? Speaking of James Harden, here is Donovan Mitchell saying, well, this is not James Harden's fault. This is an us fault.
This isn't on him. Like, it's on all of us, right? This isn't just because of a certain stretch. Like, no, like, we still have opportunities on the other end as well to take advantage and score, and we didn't. So it's not just on one person. And when he's been around the league long enough, he understands. It's 17 years, right? But in the same token, hey, it happened, and we'll respond for game two.
It's not just James Harden's fault. Hey, Mike Brown, what was your entire MO in the fourth quarter and overtime?
We have to try to figure out different ways to guard Harden and Mitchell. They got to figure out different ways to guard Jalen. But we were, there's no secret, we were attacking Harden.
That's all they're going to do.
It's literally the whole point. The
late
whole
the
plan. What are you doing? We're going after Harden.
I don't know basketball at all at a high level. Could
sure.
I coach? No. Could I draw plays? Absolutely not. I'm capable of telling you what should your offensive philosophy be late in the game. Find a way to make him the primary defender and go at him every possession.
Because well,
you know
gonna do.
You know what you're gonna do? You're gonna score
yeah.
every time, or somebody's gonna have to help because he's gonna get beat off the dribble because he can't play defense to save his life, and it's gonna create an open look for somebody else.
What ended up being a bit of a dud game ended up closing as a spectacular finish.
It's a perfect summation of James Harden's career.
Yeah, I agree with that. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Tough day in Rip City yesterday.
Yes, it was.
We must talk about that, the big layoffs that happened. We'll give you an update on how players view Portland in a poll and who are the coaching favorites. We have a loaded hour number two on a Stat and Story Hump Day Edition, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.